I wish I was brave. I wish I was stronger. Wish I could feel no pain. Wish I was young. Wish I was shy. I wish I was honest. Wish I was you, not I. 'Cause I feel so mad. I feel so angry. Feel so callous. So lost, confused again. Feel so cheap. So used, unfaithful. Let's start over. Let's start over.
All right, here we go, episode 301, third season, first episode, the Uncanny Slow, BTC edition.
Do we want to talk about how ADD Doug is? How many times he'll, like, forget about what the conversation is we're talking about?
What's going on? We started?
Started what?
The podcast started.
Oh, at least you know why you're here.
Yeah. We have Doug here before noon.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive.
That is a big plus. You know what?
This means you guys may get this podcast before like 3 o'clock this afternoon. This is going to be good. Got a lot to cover. I think the last one we did was a few Sims before the playoffs, right? Or right before
something like that,
break.
Yeah.
All right. So these things are worth 2 points each according to Doug's grading scale. So we're going to put out more of them this year. You know,
eight.
We're going to put eight of them out. Well, first thing we want to touch on because, you know, we didn't spend any time talking about it in any episode before this is the end of last season. So we have a couple of playoff teams here in the building. No comment from the Lake Show over there, but Doug, you want to talk about your first round win?
It was a good win. It was fun. It was a surprise to me, but yeah, it didn't matter because I lost in the second round.
Right. Well, you were the sixth seed. I don't know how much parity there possibly can be. But you came close in that second series, right? Or did you get swept?
After Byron Scott went out,
It
was done.
So that's another thing. Injuries suck in this game. Pretty much the end of the season, we saw a bunch of teams just get crippled by injuries. And that happened to Jordan the year before, didn't it? Big playoff injuries.
Yeah, it did happen.
So you have Wilkins, who you tried to make play for like 4 months when he wasn't ready.
And then he was finally almost ready to come back.
Yeah.
Very well.
So the finals, Nola versus Wignosi. Any thoughts on that? Obviously, Nola's chipping away, you know, for the success of the rest of the league against Wignosi. You know, we only got one win.
In two years, we'll have another champion.
Yeah.
All right? It'll go seven this year, and Wig will win. And then next year, someone will beat him in seven.
I think that's pretty good. And then the next year, someone will beat him in six, right?
Yeah.
So if you're in the Eastern Conference,
you're playing for second.
Yeah. That's fine.
You hear that, Colts guy? You're playing for second.
You get a lot of points for making the playoffs, though. So training points.
Playoffs.
Well, congratulations, Wignosi. I don't know that there's any more conversation that needs to happen there. So what happened in the Western Conference, though? It was Nola beat who in the...
The Warriors.
He beat Sound. Yeah, I know.
No. Bow.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, that was a good series, though.
Well, Chad lost to a high school kid.
he got outcoached.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That was Doug. Because you're trying to camp the day before.
Maybe we need to release this.
No, it was actually pretty impressive how, like, because I think Ben was actually pretty, I think he was down two when he started, or down 1-3 and came back and won.
Yeah, he did a terrific
job. He did some good adjustments. He tried something, I think, when he was on the road or when he was at home.
Mm-hmm.
He tried something out of the norm and got behind the, you know.
Yeah.
Behind the eight ball and then decided to not scratch. So,
decided not scratch. What? I mean, it makes sense, but I never heard that follow up to it.
Yeah, neither did I.
He deserves a lot of credit for what he did. You know, it's he probably didn't get enough credit for the coaching job that he did to get to the Western Conference Finals.
The Western Conference Finals is the only thing that Wignosi can't win, so we have to spend a little time talking about that.
That's right. Can't win the Pacific either.
No. So anyways, yeah, another good season. It was pretty entertaining. I mean, I was out of it. You know, I was eliminated on the last sim. I mean, it was pretty much the writing was on the wall for a couple seasons before that.
You took that early hit.
But I think a lot of people participated in the Skypes, Skirps. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. It was a good, you know, I think we're having a lot more turnout now than we used to from everybody. I think the Skypes are cool.
We
keep that thing open all the time, don't we? Like, it's just whoever's online.
It's a chat.
That's pretty cool. So, I mean, if you have a chance to ever jump on, it's a lot of fun. I mean, I'm sure the people listening to this podcast are the ones who are on there anyway. So
no points for Skype.
No points for Skype. All right. So, with that, we wrap up the 91-92 season. The Hawks win again, back-to-back. Okay, that's enough of that. So, then we go to the draft. So, we want to spend some time talking about this. We're actually going to borrow from our buddy Nola and his ratings.
I don't have that up.
You don't have that? I'll pull it up.
I've got the normal draft pulled up. But you want to go through maybe like the first 10 picks?
Yeah, and just kind of, I think the big thing is to talk about, maybe especially the lottery teams, talk about who helped them. Well, let's talk about the lottery picks and then talk about any of the other ones that really stand out to you. Because there are some people who got some help there towards the back end of the draft. I mean, it wasn't phenomenal, but it wasn't terrible either.
So first pick was Shaq to the Rockets.
So I think we give that an A+.
Yeah,
Pretty much.
That's a no-brainer, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, after 2 years of sucking, he finally got his player.
Yeah.
We mean Bison Deli or whatever his name is. Shouldn't be a starting power forward.
That's weird.
I mean, he was actually kind of good though.
I mean, for
a team that had one score on it.
Traded Kevin McHale for 8 points and a pick or something, or
yeah, no, that's not
number 29 pick overall.
Yeah, I mean that's worth it, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Kevin McHale went to get $4 million this offseason or scored 18 points
per
game.
If you look at that, I mean, it was terrible value. But if you don't, I guess. He had his reasonings.
Okay.
So I guess the biggest... So we have Shaq. You know, that's a good pick for them. I think the shock of the draft was the top two protected pick that the Celtics got to keep.
How was that?
To
awesome.
Get Alonzo Mourning.
I think that's the first time any protection's ever hit in this league. Including like the old league too, we had a lot of people.
And there's some pretty silly, protections.
But I
usually.
Mean, this is the first time it ever hit where it actually.
I mean, let's be honest. Anybody who used protection before wasn't getting any. So
yeah,
it's the first time somebody who used protection
got
protected. You know?
Yeah, got some.
So I mean, and now it's his 93 pick automatically, right?
Yeah, and it's actually also
top two protected forever.
Is he said top two protected forever? So that locks every one of his picks until it's traded to. So you can't trade his own pick in subsequent years
until it gets it up.
Either Sixers get their pick.
Yeah, I'm sure he won't complain. I mean, like you can't give up that asset, but
right.
Oh my god, in case like
I got number two,
Weber
yeah.
comes out, you know,
yeah.
it's Weber.
So we would say that was pretty good for the Celtics considering they didn't have a lottery pick at that point.
Yeah, I mean, talk about getting fucking lucky.
Yeah. We
got
lucky last year.
What was
that? Oh, yeah.
What was their...
But that's even luckier.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
The damn
what
yeah.
was their... What's their outlook before this? Like, they were pretty much banking on 93, right? Because
yeah.
they
had,
have, like,
they
so
everything.
Many picks.
They had
right?
everything in 93.
So what is their outlook now? Now that they've gotten Alonzo Mourning, isn't that
they
kind
traded,
of a Chris Webber?
Well, right now he has...
Do you see what I'm saying? Like, they wanted Chris Webber. They wanted
yeah.
somebody from the 93 draft.
He
so now they have Mourning.
Webber. I mean, with my talk
so
with him...
shot at that.
Look, we talk for a good week, and I hope he doesn't mind me talking about this, and I don't think he will, but we talked for a good week on G-Chat about this trade. A full week of going back and forth for hours.
Right.
And the biggest wrench in the whole thing was he didn't want to lose Weber. Everything else was fine. He didn't want to lose Weber.
Right.
So, like, to me, if I'm trading a guy like Mitch Richmond, there's little to no chance I'm going to get a guy close to that type of value back. Like, I'm not going to let you top five protect your pick. Like,
right.
you want me to guarantee that I'm going to get a shitty guy? No, like, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
So I ended up being where he ended up taking a guy in the draft that I liked a lot, Clarence Weatherspoon, and I gave him the top one protection. But the interesting thing is we talked last week about this is what happens if, say, for instance, the Rockets get the first pick again? You know, do they take Weber or do they take Penny? Oh, you probably want to take Penny if you're them, right? I mean, I'm not saying he would or wouldn't or should or shouldn't.
Like Weber and Shaq.
But, right. I mean, that's what happened in real life. The Magic got Shaq, won again, selected Weber. Shaq talked the Magic into trading Weber for Penny because he just played on the movie Blue Chips with him, and
he
was great.
Yeah, yeah. McNulty, that was a good movie.
Yeah, he traded. They traded for him, and the rest is history.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the Rockets could very well take Penny. I could somehow, I mean, this is...
We'll see what the ratings are at that point.
But no, but
Weber could fall to you. If
Weber could fall to me at 2, even though he has that top one protection on, and I'm pretty sure Conroy would admit his life would crumble after that, even if he did great.
Yeah. Well, the thing with him is that I think at this point he's banking his chances on getting Weber, not on his own success, but on someone else's. Because
I don't think
few other picks that are possibly lotto team picks.
76ers is one, but I don't see them.
It's difficult to say because, I mean, those are all like – I think he has Raptors. Does he have Raptors?
He does, but yeah,
he
does.
He has Raptors, Cavs, and Sixers. I think the Cavs is looking more and more like a non-lotto team.
The Cavs aren't –
But the Raptors may not be either.
The Raptors, I think
they're trading a little bit.
Look,
I've given up a couple of games. Here's one of our questions. We're going to just fire right into it. The Raptors.
I think the Raptors, he's a good coach. I don't know if he makes a playoff that team. Just because if you look at that division.
It's so tough.
It's, you know, talent-wise. I'm talking about talent-wise on the team because he's rebuilding. He is the second worst team, and I'll give it to the Hornets as the worst.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at the whole East, I don't think he's the second worst in the East.
Well, and I think there's going to be a lot of people from the Central that get in.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm sorry to finish your thought, but I'm pretty sure that's...
5, 6, 7, 8. I think 6 of the 8 teams in the Central could definitely make it in, if not 7. And that 7th would be the Raptors, in my opinion. But
yeah.
You got to take somebody out of the Atlantic. The Celtics could make it with Mitch Richmond and Alonzo. I would say the outlook is kind of fuzzy for them. The Magic are good now. The Knicks have made it to the Eastern Conference Finals twice. The Wizards have a good starting five. The 76ers are growing. This training camp could mean a lot for them.
The East is really up in the air.
Who knows where anybody's going to be?
So, we still got some other things. Yeah. So we're still talking about some other stuff we're going to hit on later in the show. But the number 3 pick. So Alonzo Mourning, that's probably the biggest win of the entire draft because he was going to be able to take the draft off essentially, right?
Yeah,
I mean, he didn't have another pick, I don't think.
He had mine at 16.
Yeah. Okay. So that's
yeah.
So
then we go to another guy who hit in this lottery. The Clippers were not a top 3 team, right? They were...
No, I think they were number 4, and they moved up to
3. Oh, so they moved up 1. I mean, that's still a win for them. They're a team that didn't have much coming back, right?
It's a huge win for them because talent drops off significantly after 3.
Yeah.
I mean, 1 and 2 is in a tier on their own.
Right.
Sprewell is a tier in his own. Then everybody... I mean, Sprewell and Christie are really...
Yeah, I think Christie was
Sprewell. Sprewell's just balanced all across the board everywhere. Christie was like your defensive specialist too. That can I think he can hit the 3 if I don't.
He's got B 3.
Yeah, like he has some shooting, so he's like more of your 3-and-D guy versus Sprewell, who can handle the ball.
Yeah,
he can fill in for point guard if he needed to.
Run the offense.
Yeah.
The key about Sprewell is kind of like Smith of last year. For my team, you know, this is a guy who's not one of the best 2 players in the draft, but he's going to be a star on that team at some point. And I think especially with where the Clippers are concerned, like getting that guy is a huge win for them because, you know, they're a team that hasn't had a lot going for them.
The biggest thing about that is now they have Hornacek, who's really more of a combo than a 1.
Yeah.
What do they do with him? He's 29. Does he really fit with... You know, all the free agency song, which we'll get to.
Yeah.
Do they move? Should they move Hornacek? In my opinion, probably yes. But what do they do with him?
Who goes for him, too? I mean, with some of the free agent hiccups, I guess, free agency hiccups, like, you know, you being able to just go after anybody, like, who trades for a guy who's...
Well, there's not a ton of guys I would personally trade for near the age of 30 before training camp.
Right.
Right. It would be after.
Yeah,
sure.
I need to see. Like, I would need to see.
Well,
it's just like your Wilkins trade with the Cavs, and, you know, I'm not trying to call that out at 1 at all, but, you know, you want to talk about a team that's primed for a bad training camp, and J-How, you know, I hope the best for you. But you want to talk about a team that's primed for a bad training camp. You got Moses Malone at 37. You got Barkley at 29, who should be all right. You got Wilkins at 32. You got Isaiah Thomas at 31. Sleepy Floyd at 32. Like, these are all guys that can take really big hits in this upcoming training camp today. So we get back to the draft.
Yeah. So then you were just talking about Doug Christie being maybe the number four pick. You are the number four best player. You were the number four pick.
Five.
Christie goes four to the Seattle Supersonics.
Yeah.
Oh, Nola's big board is wrong. He's got.
No, that was
well, that's
four.
That's who I thought was value-wise.
Value.
Yeah.
But I thought he then rated. Oh, my bad. I'm looking at the wrong list. Yeah, okay. So Doug Christie goes to the Sonics at number four.
They get a lockdown defense. I mean, he won't be great, but he's a very necessary player. He's one of those guys that are always going to have value in the league.
Yeah.
And the season that we had with, obviously, Jay Jack is taking over for the GM, who will remain nameless. I think we like what we saw with Jay Jack from previous seasons. I think that this is a good building block for the Sonics. He needed anything, right? I mean, he needed anything he can grab at that point, right?
The thing, I mean, in retrospect, everything's 2020, right? But the thing I would have liked to see would be if they would have kept Mookie instead of the guy that they kept, who is it, Terrell Brandon, who is just kind of like Mookie, so it's not really that.
I like Terrell Brandon. When he was coming in the draft last year, he had a very high potential in a lot of the fields that you want your point guard to have high potential in.
But it'll be interesting to see that his point guard and his two guard both have a perimeter defense, and there's not anybody else in the league that can lock down the perimeter like that. Now, it's going to take years for him to build off of that.
Yeah.
But if he gets some bigs, eventually he's going to be...
Well, I mean, he's another guy that I don't think his team is ready. His team is, like you said, a few years from being, like, competing, but... He has the potential to.
Well, and we talked about
through another draft this next upcoming year.
We talked about this earlier that the bigs are biggest, for lack of a better term, in the Western Conference. So having a great perimeter defense in the Western Conference may not be that great of a thing.
But
it depends on what breaks your way.
Think about this though, and just as another way to think about it is. If you have good perimeter defenders, I'm not saying this is the best way to do it, but if you have good perimeter defenders, you could possibly steal the ball before it gets to the bigs.
Well, that's true.
And that's a big plus, less possession, so those bigs to touch the ball.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what the Sonics do. I mean, that's a good addition. We can talk about their. We're probably going to break down most of the teams by the end of this podcast. So we're just going to talk about the draft for right now, and then go forward. Bucks come up next, number five.
And we can answer a question from Soundwave. Can we talk about the Bucks more?
We can pass this.
No, come on, Doug.
So you had a debate of which forward you wanted, right?
Yeah.
Or your Leitner.
That was the big decision for me. Like, I mean, you can get Leitner, who is more, he's more of a win now, straightforward. Like, he's going to be good down low.
Right.
He's a pure four.
He may not improve.
Right.
But he's good.
He might improve, but not
yeah,
exactly. Whereas there's Ori, who's a very, he has a high potential in, like, what was it, seven categories? That... He's a perimeter and post defender.
Well,
he could pass the ball or handle the ball pretty good. So that means less turnovers.
Yeah.
He could shoot the three. He's not very good down low, but when you have him the day comes when you can play him at the four, he can stretch. He's getting other fours out of position. That will open things up down low.
And he's a combo forward, for lack of a better term.
Yeah,
like,
he can play in the
three or the four, which is a big deal. Looking back on it at this point, and I was pretty excited to get Leitner. He was the guy that I wanted, and we'll get to mine in a second. But looking at what happened in free agency too, Ori would have probably been a better fit
for you. Yeah, well, and that's one thing I wanted to touch on is after free agency, it seems like a better pick for you than it was at the time, because free agency you got like a million bids, right?
Yeah,
and so did you.
yeah.
You know, you both got a million bigs, so Ori.
Right.
But that's why Ori's so valuable, and he will be so valuable in this league.
Yeah.
He can so versatile.
Right.
Or he will be so versatile eventually.
I mean, he's going to be a guy who may be all defense, like...
I don't know if he's going to be...
He's just going to be a good team guy. He's like a core guy that you want to have on your team. He's not like you're going to be your stud. He's not going to be like... He's just... He hits the shots that you make, you know. He doesn't. He's gonna be like a Sabalos in that sense. That like
glue.
Yeah,
Elmer.
Yeah, gonna rename Elmer.
No, it's a great pick for you because the only reason that I was hoping that you went Ori instead of Leitner was because I had Smith starting at the three.
Yeah.
So I think that if Ori had been there though, then I may have executed that trade that we were talking about because I think Ori could have been. He could have been a solid starter already in the league.
This is another big point about the league, and I was talking about this actually on Pelicans Report yesterday, and about how valuable guys are that aren't going to ask for the max. You know,
you know,
you get people, you get a certain amount of people, and this is a crux that I came up with in the offseason. You start getting a certain amount of talent, and in the offseason, they're going to want a max contract.
Yeah.
And if you don't give it to them, and if they hit free agency, somebody else is going to give him a max contract.
Yeah.
So the fact that Ori might end up being a guy that offers to resign with you for like a mid-level deal, and he can always be a key cog in your lineup despite who you have as your star, makes him more important because, like, say next offseason you lose, I don't know, a few of your guys that are, your whole team is basically going to free agency.
Yeah.
You can tell Ori and even Thorpe, the guy you sign later, those are guys that just play along with whoever you get. So if you get another star at the one or the two or the five, like, they'll play fine. And he still won't demand a max contract, so you can put two stars on him.
Right.
Number six in the draft was Jim Jackson. The Miami Heat needed everything. And Leitner was obvious to go if these guys checked in here, but... When it came down to it, to Jim Jackson, and I don't know that it's necessarily a bad pick, but it's just
those guys also they resigned, they took over the team, and they resigned after the pick because they were saying they just didn't have time.
That's fine. It's very difficult to keep up with at times. I think it's
difficult to get into initially. Once you're there, you understand systems and learn what
they're. You understand the like
too, to look into
the
it
three or four minutes that you may spend on it. An hour or whatever, like you check. I have the app. Like I'll check it every now and then, and I get what I need out of the league and can move on with. If you have to, like, if you sign up, you're thinking, oh, I got to get to the computer. I got to check this out. And
that's the thing. Like for us, a lot of us like have a little bit of downtime at work where we can get on the internet and have access, or in college, and you know, time in between classes and jobs and stuff. Whereas I think. The guy that came in, or the guys that came in, out of the Bills, their brother, were a little younger, and they're in school every day from certain hour. They got club activities, they got homework, you know, and shit like that. I can understand not having the time to do that and not having the time initially to get involved. If it was during the summer, when there's a little bit more free time, that's a different story. But
I'm a tough guy to sell on time because I always feel like if you want to make time for something, you make time for it.
Yeah.
But when you're just starting, like
you don't know.
It's just like, Wigs League, I'm sure it's a great league. And, I initially joined it, but I realized I didn't have time to do both leagues. And it's not because I don't necessarily have time, because I play an hour of video games a day. I go work out for an hour and a half or what have you. It's just that, to me, it wasn't important enough to put it on the list to make time for. Which is what happened.
I agree with that.
Right.
Who knows? This team's not controlled by anybody. This is Mr. Uter here.
I didn't think it was a bad pick, though. I mean,
it's not a bad pick.
He's got Dikembe, who's not a scorer. He's got Peyton, who's primarily a defender. Getting a guy that can just score isn't necessarily a bad thing for that team.
Is Peyton? No, Peyton doesn't come up this year. He's next year, right?
Mm-hmm.
God, I was going to say, like, when it comes to negotiations, I'm curious to see if the computer just automatically, if he doesn't have an owner. If he automatically just resigns, if he's going to hit free agency. Like, I'm just saying, like, that'll be interesting to see how
it works. To me, it's good for the league if you have the actual computer running the teams. Like,
I agree.
Signing guys like that.
Yeah, because they can't lose guys like Peyton. I mean, Gary Payton was a top pick. Was Gary Payton second?
Top five.
Top five pick. You want to know why he was a top five pick? It's because he was 21 years old coming into the league. I mean, we knew exactly. First off, he was highly rated, but then we knew exactly that this guy was going to grow. So that's why now, looking at the end of Peyton's contract, like, the computer has to try to save him. If anybody steals him from the computer, albeit, like, maybe a max deal or something is what changes
the game.
The computer should not let him go.
And I'll tell you right now why it's even more important that, well, not more important than signs, but taking Peyton then, if you have to offer him a max deal, he's only going to be going into his fifth year of his NBA career. So he's still on that bottom tier of max contract.
Yeah.
So you could sign him for under $4 million max money for five seasons.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you'll have to do the 12.5 increase or whatever.
It's not good for the league if he go. I mean, look, everybody wants a shot at Gary Payton. I would take him over KJ if I had to. But the bottom line is it's not good for the league to have two teams, even if they're not owned by anybody, suck and get the top five picks every year.
Okay. I think that, it's a tough call because, I don't know. I mean, you don't restricted free agency is when you start looking at some of these obvious problems with this, and restricted free agency may be something that we need to institute at some point.
Right.
I think most of the league is favorable to this. I think one big, opponent of it is the commissioner who, you know, ultimately makes a lot of the decisions with input from everybody else. But, you know, if a guy like Peyton is maxed by somebody else, I mean, most of the maxes that got handed out in free agency, and we'll touch on that later, but most of the guys who got max deals this time wouldn't have been retained by their team, probably. Do you think Eldon Campbell would have been retained by his team if
he signed before this?
I don't remember.
Eldon Campbell.
Who had Eldon Campbell before this?
J&R.
Okay, so do you think J&R would have retained him on a max deal?
Nope.
No. We're going to start getting to a point where if, like, Jordan signs a max deal with somebody else, because everyone in the league is going to offer a max deal to him. All the ones that can offer max deals to him. I'm maxed out. I'm not going to be able to offer him a max deal. But
I might let KJ go out there and offer Jordan one.
Yeah, but like, you know, that's the kind of thing. Like, when we start losing guys like that, you know, if you lose your best player because the computer just arbitrarily picks your deal over somebody else's deal,
Jordan isn't a good example because he's from the creation draft. So he's not going to have restricted.
But it's
the draft picks that are a big deal. Restricted free agency is not going to happen. I mean, I would say there's a...
We have a few years to really decide on this.
But I would say it's a 99% chance that it's not happening. But I think may happen. Please don't quote... Well, I'm on record. But what I think may happen is you'll get a signing period without anybody else fit. And like you saw with Sabalos, he signed after one period.
Yeah.
And if they don't, you know, you still have...
You have another option.
You have advantages, right? You have the fifth year of the deal...
Yeah.
And you've got 2.5% more.
Right.
And to me, I've never seen the game really
turn
it down. I mean, the match.
It's generally more money, longer term, more money. If you throw that out there, because that option's there. You get to tack on if it's your guy and then you draft it or whatever. It's your guy. You have the option of re-signing him with the extra year and with that extra 12.5 kicker if you have his bird ears. Right,
I think you're going to see a lot of
you get the fifth year on top of.
I think
if he's a retaining player,
right?
Where it's going to become a huge issue is with the contracts in this league. When you know the only way to retain your player is to max him out, is that all of a sudden instead of having four or five guys who really deserve a max deal, and this is coming from a guy who bid a max deal on somebody I thought could help me, instead of having a guy like that.
I'm the case study for this.
So Sabalos.
Sabalos is a guy that, I'll tell you, unequivocally does not deserve a max deal.
Right.
He doesn't. I mean, 10 points a game. He did well. He's an efficient guy. But he's not a scoring option for me. He's not a defensive lockdown player.
Right.
He's not an all-star. May never be an all-star.
Right.
Not me. Probably will never be an all-star. He doesn't do anything great. But... I've already had him for 2 years. I've suffered through the bad times. I think he'll be a really, really good player.
Right.
Like, fringe all-star type. And the only way I knew I could keep him
is with a max deal.
And I thought, and you know, later I found out, but I thought I could this is the thought process I went through. If the max I could offer him was 3.8 million, right? Or 3.9 million.
Right.
I thought, hey, I did all the rates versus the other teams. I saw that if I paid him a 12.5 at 3 million, I would still be offering way more money than anybody else. And I was like, in my heart, I feel like I could get away with this and I'll offer him 3 million a year. And he'll sign with me for 5 years. And at the end of the day, nobody bid more than that. Somebody bid somewhere around 3 million. I think most people bid around 2.5 million. But at the end of the day, when I placed my bid, and it was time to place my bid, Chad knows I struggled with this, and you guys probably know I struggled with this, I placed the maximum deal.
YOLO. Just to be safe.
I just couldn't afford to lose him, especially after trading Rich.
Right.
Like, he was huge in my...
Well, he could play the 2 or 3 for you. I mean, when I had him in the last league, he played...
He won't play the 2 in this league.
In this league, he won't? Okay.
He's more of a 4 than the 2.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I think if the... If the cap booms like we expect it to do in a couple years, then contracts are going to boom too. So let's just say it does boom. Let's say that we get $5 or $6 million more in a couple years. Does that change the max deal as well?
I would imagine.
So we may be talking about $7 or $8 million for retaining a Jordan or a Magic or something like that.
I don't think by 2 years it'll be 7 million. It'll probably be. It might.
But
start,
it's going to be 5.
It'll start
He's going
to
be 5
and go to 8.5 or 9.
Yeah. So, I mean, you see what I'm saying. It's for that age player. So that's about right. 7 or 8 probably. I mean, we're not talking about a 3.9 like this year. We're talking about maybe retaining Peyton at 5 mil a year because of him being the younger guy.
You also have to realize Sabalos was 2 years in the league. So he's a 22-year-old guy coming out. So
you wouldn't offer him 4.5 to.
Well, I could. Right? I mean, because of his years in the league, he's a cheaper max deal
right.
for me.
But my
Whereas
question is, with him
years,
with him being 3 or 4 years older, would you have offered? Like, if you had the same feeling towards Sabalos, and you knew he was 3 or 4 more years in the league, where he would get a higher than 3.9 on his first year, would you have offered him?
Yes.
You would have still offered him
because I mean, if this league has proven anything and. The real league has proven anything is movable.
Right.
Like there's some GM that'll take him that thinks he's the last piece of their puzzle and they'll give up what they think is a low first round pick for him.
Right.
And at least you get something for him.
Right.
Or points. I mean shit, even 10 points would better than losing him for nothing in free agency.
Right.
And you know, Rocket 78 brought up that point this year. It's basically if you really, really, really want a guy, no matter who he is, you're better off in the max.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's going to, it's you know what, it's going to... the
Next year is going to be just as bad as the year after
it's gonna
that.
It's going to be worse.
Yeah.
The economy of the league is going to be a really interesting thing in about 2 to 3 years.
Because that's really the problem that happened with the old league, with the 7 year... At least it's 4 and 5 year deals.
Yeah.
Not 6 and 7, which just changes everything. Like,
well, you get guys...
You commit to a guy that...
Because you'll have guys with not enough foresight to... realize, oh God, I'm going to be paying a quarter of my team's salary cap
right.
to one player.
Right.
And I don't have anyone
right.
else around. Or you overpay a couple guys that shouldn't be getting overpaid. I think the Rockets were starting to experience that when the league folded last time.
Yeah, oh yeah.
They had guys like Posey, and they had guys like...
Who was a good player.
Who was good. Joe Smith and Posey, who were good players. But he was getting $8 million for, you know, a guy that probably wasn't playing more than 15, 20 minutes
right.
a game.
Well,
so, anyway, but that's
yeah, well,
I think we kind of
yeah, well, we're going to touch on free agency a little bit more later.
Like we
just,
always do.
Yeah, but this is what makes this fun for us to do is
yeah.
we get to talk on stuff like this and just debate on it. It's a conversational podcast.
Yeah.
So, anyways, we get to the 7th pick. The 7th pick is Leitner. Considering how heavy the 2 guards were in this league, or in this draft, this was a huge win for me.
Third best pick in the
Yeah,
I mean, him and Gugliotta to me were
they were wide.
Well,
a,
and I think that that's
3A, 3B.
So Ori went 5th, and I expected Leitner to go 6th. I would have taken Gugliotta at 7.
Yeah.
Like I mean,
7.
I knew that I was going to get one of those 2 guys, and as you can see, the next pick was Gugliotta. But you know, it's tough to get you know, especially with I wasn't retaining anyone from my starting lineup.
Yeah.
At that point, like I had 2 bigs that I was losing in free agency. And so this was a big deal for me because I had my two and my three of the future,
right?
Theoretically, you know, that's if I can retain Reggie in a couple of years. But
well, I think the top eight picks. I mean, I think it could have been any of those players.
And yeah.
I don't want to say in any order, because you had some...
Four to eight.
4 to 8, I think, were just interchangeable.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You could just swap them out.
Even 5 to 8, because I think Christie was a clear top
4.
Yeah.
Especially as it came... After the updates came through, and
well,
you can see it, but...
Well, we knew how... I mean, so Christian Laettner, maybe not great potential or upside, but right
now
he's really good. And he is, I drafted him as the starter. Now, obviously, that changes a little bit with some of the signings I did, but Laettner, I expect Laettner to get 30 minutes a game, which is a huge deal. He's going to be coming off the bench, so he's that classic throw more minutes at the bench guy, sixth man of the year kind of guy. We'll see what happens with that. Gugliotta goes number 8. Gugliotta was pretty much the same player as Laettner.
Yeah,
I
think he was a little bit better. What block? He had better like defense or something.
He wasn't as good offensively. I don't think.
It was like you swap out a little bit of offense,
yeah,
a little bit of defense.
So obviously, I think this is a good pick for the Hornets too, because the Hornets needed players.
They need youth. They don't need youth. They needed a
value.
Well,
should they have gone with? I mean, now Toronto gets John Berry next, and they obviously wanted a power forward because
they
did everything they could to get a power forward.
I'm surprised, but
do you
really? I mean, I'm surprised he. I don't know if he approached you for any trades or anything.
Who? Raptors.
Raptors.
Oh no, no. I don't. I think he knew that if we were going for the same person, I wasn't going to trade.
Oh yeah, because I was going to say, like, for you, I didn't know if he was possibly thinking trade down. Like, you would trade down for, I think, because he had 9 and 12 or something like that.
Yeah.
He had like 3 picks.
Well,
or 9 and 15 maybe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was surprised he didn't offer you 9 and 15 for 7, and that way you could have gotten like PJ Brown. And then you could have gotten David West.
I think
you
loved Laettner.
Yeah, Laettner's
who I wanted, really. Looking at, I mean, obviously who I wanted was Zoe or Shaq, and that didn't happen. But after that, you have 3 or 4 guys that you have to take because the best player available.
I agree.
Then there's the guy that you really want, which from the beginning, I knew Laettner was going to be good.
Yeah.
I knew he was going to be solid. And he's the kind of guy, maybe this is the same guy, where he is not retained for a max deal.
I agree.
That's perfect, because if he's coming off the bench, he's not going to be a guy asking for a max deal. So anyways, Laettner, Gugliotta, both good picks. I think the Toronto had to go with John Berry because he was BPA. I don't know what Toronto looked like at this point. There's been so many trades that it's hard to see. I think people went into the draft with a mindset. They drafted players that were maybe not so good for them at the time, but then they pulled off trades in free agency. They addressed other issues that draft pick gave them. So, like, I think Berry was a very solid player in the
file. No, I think it's a good value.
He's not a good fit for him at that time.
At the time, it wasn't, because he had Vernon, who he later traded to the Hornets, which we'll actually get to that later. I think that's one of the questions that Soundwave posted, would he rate his 2 trades? But, and we'll get to all those posted questions later on. I think that was a good pick for him at the time, because, I mean, that was the best value on the board.
Yeah, I mean, he could have taken P.J. Brown there. I think that a lot of...
He didn't need him, though. He had Coleman.
He wanted a 4.
He was trying
to move up and get a 4.
Yeah.
And so when Laettner and Gugliotta and Ori came off of the block, I don't think he wanted to pick P.J. Brown that early. Now, P.J. Brown goes next to the Sixers, which is not a bad move for the Sixers, because they may end up with a top three pick next year.
Actually, they won't, because they don't have their own pick.
Yeah.
But the Celtics. So may end up with a deal, a pick that they can get somebody else.
I don't think they will. I mean, look, they got Vlade, they got Tim Hardaway, Bobby Phil's going to fill out a little bit, Dennis Scott, P.J. Brown,
they're going to be a good team. Now, again, with how tough the East is a different story, but I think they're going to be in that heated battle. I think this year is going to be similar to next year in the sense that there's going to be a big battle for the 7th, 8th, 6th seeds. Between like the 12th through the 6th is going to be a huge race.
Yeah.
And there'll probably be a couple bottom outs that, you know, are pretty obvious. But
injuries can dictate a lot more too.
PJ Brown was a guy that had a lot of upside. He's a guy I would have loved to have doubled up on forwards and gotten at 13. Another forward that was really talented, you know, pretty solid ratings, Walt Williams. Walt Williams is a guy, and he went 11. Walt Williams is a guy that if he was there at 13, would have been tough for me not to take.
Yeah.
Just because I think that he, at that point, Norman was on my team. Later, we executed a trade for that. But he looked a lot like that. He looked like a guy who was just going to be a solid player, maybe a starter eventually. But he can do a lot of things well. And I think Walt Williams is probably when it starts really tailing off. Like, Williams might have been the last great get for a team.
Yeah.
I didn't like Walt Williams at all.
You didn't like Walt Williams at all?
I think...
Why not?
Insider information here, sources. Soundwave was, I think, when he was going for his pick, it was between John Barry, and I think Walt Williams was one of his options as well. And I think when push came to shove, I'm like, just take the better player. Don't fill a need right now, because that's what you have free agency for that.
If you don't have talent, get talent.
Well, you have a 2 and you have a 3, so just take the best player. Like at that point,
well, he took a 2 in the first pick.
Yeah, no, no,
no, no, no, no, no. His first, pick. Yeah.
Talking about his first pick, he's saying that it was Barry or Williams.
Do you think if he knew he was going to get Hubert Davis later in the draft, he would have picked Walt Williams?
Or maybe that's what I'm thinking of, or those that are. Maybe it was Davis and Weatherspoon that he was debating between. But I think push comes to shove. I mean, like you said, you take talent when talent's available. And I think Hubert Davis being there is that, and we haven't gotten to that pick yet, but I mean, it's coming up. Hubert Davis at 15, what was it, 15?
14.
14? I think that's a great pick for a guy who can come off the bench and probably just score 15 a game. You know, like hit maybe not that much, but
yeah. I thought
score 14 or 15 points a game.
The Bulls ended up trading him, but I thought that Anthony Peeler, I thought he was maybe the third or fourth best shooting guard in the whole thing.
They projected me to have him at 7. I mean, the computer did. So, and a lot of times the computer does what your needs are, they address your needs, but a lot of times it gives you the best player.
Well, we talked about your pick, and the reason why, I mean, I told you I like David Wesley for your next pick was because you had Steve Smith and Reggie Miller already. Like you need
theoretically could be on the team for the next for 8 years total, each one of them. So that's a tough, and that's why Ori wasn't even a great pick for me at that point. Like he might have started at the 4 for me, just like Norman did last year.
Yeah,
but I mean.
He doesn't rebound right now. I mean,
that's impossible to talk yourself into. Bryant Stith, this was a computer pick. This is a 2, right? I don't even remember him.
Yeah, he's a 2.
David Wesley to me. David Wesley was the last guy I could really address. I mean, I could have reached for like the 16th or 17th projected guy, which was a center. It was, I forgot his name. I don't even remember where he went. I stopped paying attention. I'm talking about 13th pick. But I think Wesley is – I didn't really have a backup point guard at that time.
No. I think Wesley was probably your –
it was probably the last chance.
You needed a backup guy at the point guard. And I didn't realize – I thought Wesley was coming out as a 2, but
– He came out as a 1. He eventually switched
over, right?
Yeah, but he's got upside. He can become a point guard in this league. He may have in the real league gone to 2 –
I still think he's that combo guy.
Well, that's – I mean, that's perfect.
He's a guy
who's
a bench,
perfect
bench
guy.
Guard
he could win multiple six-man awards if people don't put their best –
Well,
players.
If it hadn't
if
been –
people don't put, you know, like Al Jefferson off the bench.
He was my – sixth man.
Or Eddie Johnson.
Well,
yeah, Eddie Johnson.
Or Deadlift Scrum.
And I said this in my presser. I mean, he was my sixth man before I landed a couple guys in free agency and had to move Leitner to the sixth man role.
They're both sixth and seventh man interchangeable.
Yeah.
They both get 20-ish.
One of them could have a good season. The other one could have a good season. It would be the same thing pretty much.
But after that part, I mean, the draft is just...
Yeah, what... I mean, is there any... And we said we'd talk about lottery first. We kind of touched on Hubert Davis, who's right out of the lottery, but...
I'll talk about one guy I liked and I traded for him was Weatherspoon. I thought he was basically, when I was making that trade, I don't think I had Sabalos yet, which is, that's accurate. So he to me was Sabalos insurance. He did everything Sabalos did,
right,
but worse, not as well.
Yeah.
So I mean, I thought he had a very interesting skill set.
Well, you like, and this wasn't a. You're not talking about him because you drafted him. You're talking about him because you liked him that much. where he was that you would then traded for him. Like,
he was more of like an insurance in case Sabalos could.
Sure. And,
but
know,
now he's a good guy coming up. What's he, your eighth guy now? Seventh, eighth guy?
Eighth, ninth guy.
Yeah, that's perfect. I mean, your team, that just adds depth to, and considering the injury protocol here
in LA, yeah.
Well, just in the league in general. But yeah, in LA, I mean, this is.
Yeah, I liked him. I mean, whether I had him or not, I liked him. He's just one of those guys that gets offensive rebounds, doesn't need the ball.
Yeah.
A big furry.
This is a terrible. Is this Magic? This is Magic in the Atlanta jersey, number 15, right?
Yeah.
That's a terrible player model of him.
Yeah, well, it was like,
well,
I don't know, 19.
Yeah, but everyone else here has been nailed. Everyone else looks good.
It really doesn't look like Magic.
It doesn't look like Magic
at all. I thought that was Purvis Ellison.
No, it's Magic.
I was like, this
is
really ugly. He doesn't look like he has AIDS.
Oh.
He did lose half his left hand from AIDS, so.
And did he?
No, like in the.
Oh,
got it.
That's why I had to move David Robinson in front of him. I had to put him towards the back and then put David Robinson in front of him.
So there's we are 45 minutes in. We've gone through the draft.
Free agency, which we've pretty much touched.
Yeah, free agency. We had a lot of free money and maybe the second tier free agents. If you had to look at the league right now, this is the guys who went in the third and fourth round, fourth and fifth round.
Yeah.
You could address some needs if you needed to.
I think,
for example, the Pistons, who I went after five centers and expected to sign one and signed two of them. So there went $6 million worth of cap room for the next few years.
People, you need to remember that this isn't your real money. It's not coming out of your real bank.
That's true. It's going to hurt when I have to sign Miller and, well, Smith will, these guys will be expired by then, but. Yeah.
Well, that's why your deals are good. You did 3-year deals, and
not four.
By the time Smith needs to resign, they'll be falling off the.
Right.
Yeah,
and you'll be able to resign Leitner, hopefully, for a good deal.
But, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, Doug, you did some pretty good things. I think Garrett.
I think yeah, exactly. The Clippers. If we're going to talk about like winners of, you know, really filling out their team, I think the Clippers had a really great.
It's hard to call him a winner, though, in my opinion, because he didn't get a five.
Mm.
That's
because some people are hoarding all the fives.
Yeah, like two people at this table took every. Well, three. Me too. I picked up a lot of bigs as well.
All I can say is that I think for the second round, I just submitted a shit ton of min bids.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of guys just randomly accepted them. And I'm like, I can't complain about that.
Right.
Except the fact that, like, I took me out of the entire third round, like,
yeah.
Bids, because I maxed out my team.
The biggest guy the Clippers have on their team is 6'10", 253.
Which is not bad. What's his ratings?
No, he's all right. It's Terry Mills. He's been all right for him.
Well, Cliff Robinson's the guy who's going to start at center, right?
No, he's probably off. I mean, who knows?
Well, him
we'll
or Worthy. Yeah, we'll let him decide.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is a team who was not very good last year. What, fourth worst record?
I tell you what, he could do something that I've been thinking about doing. I just don't have the balls to do it.
What?
Small ball?
No. Yeah, well, not small ball, but my whole thought is, in the West, you've got bigs everywhere, right?
Yeah.
And everybody's building up on that big that talent on being able to defend down low. So my thought is, why not build a team full of three-point shooters, especially at the four and the five, right?
Yeah.
And just focus on outside, and they can't defend it because their perimeter defense sucks.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
just
he's
have
got
a team.
That with Terry Mills and Cliff Robinson.
Yeah, and Hornacek can shoot the three. Sprewell will be able to shoot the three. He needs to get probably a three that can shoot the three. Yeah, if that's
an actual typical player.
Yeah,
that's
can you imagine five guys in the starting lineup?
Well,
you have them all outside. The West is all built down low.
Tip of the week: outside game plan.
No,
am I right? I mean, this is an obvious outside game plan, right?
Yeah, yeah,
big time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like
everybody.
Sorry, I mean, this is not. We're not ruining it
Terry
for anybody.
71 3-point shot. Cliff Robinson 69.
Honestly, like if. Not that he's going to be able to trade for it or anything like that, but I mean,
hell, you know,
Dominique Wilkins would have been really, if he was doing that. I'm not saying that Dominique Wilkins can hit the three and still play down low.
Wilkins.
He could.
No, he could.
He was shooting like 30, 35% last year. Look it up.
how many shots? A half a shot a game?
Well, yeah,
he only shoot the wide open.
I think he was like 65 and 3. In his,
okay, he's got like 8 guys better than that.
Yeah, but he doesn't have anyone at the 3 is what I'm saying.
He's got he's got a center that shoots the 3 better than that.
Okay.
I mean, Dominique was an inside guy, right? He's got a guy like that.
He's inside, but he's also an outside shooter.
You already sold him, Doug. Stop trying to sell him.
Bad ideas.
No, but look, think
he
about...
He shot 35% from the 3 last year.
Think, yeah, okay, but how many did he take?
2.5 a game.
Okay, that's not too bad. Too bad he's going to die in training camp in the next. So, think about this one, Garrett. B.J. Armstrong starting the point. 79 three-point shot. Jeff Hornacek at the 2. 91 three-point shot. Latrell Sprewell at the 3, who could be your overall scorer. He's got 60, but he'll probably improve. Then Cliff Robinson at the 4, 69. Terry Mills at the 5, 71. And just shoot a million three-pointers a game.
Usage 10.
You'll lose.
Yes.
You'll lose games because you don't shoot well that night, but then you'll win games.
Dude,
because
I'll go pace 10, motion 1.
Yeah.
Or pace 10, motion like 3.
And 3-point usage.
No, you
10.
Want your motion high to free him up.
Yeah.
You want your motion high, pace 10. I mean, you don't even have to have a high pace.
Don't even play. Don't get rebounds.
Yeah.
Low offensive rebounds.
I mean, you don't need offensive rebounds. And then you just, like, everybody who's got good inside defense, it doesn't mean shit.
Early prediction. Clippers win the championship.
Win the championship. I just gave him the formula to win the fucking league.
He's going to be in the Pacific now.
I'm telling you, man.
Except when you play the Lakers. That's part of the deal.
I'm telling you, man. If he made a couple of moves where he just upped that three-point shooting, it'd be crazy.
Yeah.
We are 50 minutes in.
All right. Well, let's just go overall.
I'm kind of excited. He's going to get to do what I was thinking about yesterday.
You should trade teams.
No.
let's get to some. Well, I think one of the questions that someone had posted was, who would you pick as your offseason winner? Best offseason so far, draft and free agency and trades included. Like, overall, best in
who knows what the Hawks got? I mean, I looked at their lineup.
No,
I don't
best
love
offseason.
It.
He didn't do that.
Well, he had 4 people going into the...
Not best team. The Hawks?
He had 4 people on his team going into the... free agency.
Yeah.
And he signed a bunch of guys he wanted. Obviously has guys. They're all yellows. But apparently...
He'll make them work.
Right. I mean, he knows how the game works. Hard to say.
I'm not going to give him any more credit. If he wins the damn trophy over here, I'm not picking him.
Right.
He gets enough. they had the Magic who did a good offseason.
Magic had a good offseason.
Magic
yeah.
had... What I think is a really good offseason to win now. Like he's leveraging all of his future right now on winning this year or next year.
Yeah.
And really the emphasis on this year, because a lot of those guys come off their contracts this year, so there's no guarantee that they may even re-sign.
So I think the Magic, maybe the Clippers, we'll see if they implement that lineup actually even works, but
right.
It's got.
It's scary.
It
does. They can play everyone.
It's interesting.
Can they
sure.
play those positions on defense? You know,
yeah.
Because Tyreek Evans can't play 3 unless.
Oh yeah. No.
Right.
no, I mean that's interesting. The Bulls who picked up Stockton.
Bulls had a really good offseason.
I think Trey had one of the better off seasons, in my opinion.
Celtics
had
a really good one too.
The Celtics. Those are 5 teams that you have to watch out for GM of the year, in my opinion. If we're giving it to the team that has the biggest lead.
Yeah.
Now, Wignosi, again, we just got finished slurping and then unslurping him, but he probably deserves it almost every year. But
right. yeah.
I think there should be like a coach. I think we should separate it and give a coach of the year for the best game players.
Right.
And I think we should give one for best GM who made the best moves.
Yeah.
yeah.
Right.
And, you know, it's more. It'll be just more points that we can give out, more awards.
That's an interesting
that,
idea.
Yeah.
yeah. Well, you know, we got to let Darth make that decision.
Yeah, I'm just throwing it out there. It's
I think I remember the last podcast we had. What did we talk about? That he was like, no, we're not doing that.
The voting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, we're not doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, cool. Well.
But no, that's actually a pretty cool idea. I like that.
Wait,
different. It's a lot different.
Do we claim our points for votes? Yeah.
Yeah, I should have. I told
yeah.
people to.
Yeah.
One thing, everyone, if whoever listens, and we'll probably make this announcement too, make sure you claim your points for the depth chart submissions. I don't think we've actually counted
how
those.
How many was that?
I think it's 5 for if you never miss one. I think if you miss 1 or 2, you get 1 point. You missed three, you get zero.
Poor Clippers. I talked to Garrett about that too. I was like, oh man, you gotta make sure you get in every. He lost track of that last day. He was like, oh, I forgot it was Friday, so he didn't submit on the last
just
day.
Every Monday,
well,
Wednesday,
and so he got one
like
point.
Three.
He got 1 point.
Wait, it goes from 5 to 1.
Yeah.
Oh, we should do it.
Well, I don't remember. I'm thinking off top.
We're not gonna change it this year.
But I think
awarded those points.
Along with points.
We're gonna find it out.
GM of the year should get a bag of ice to put on their swollen cock from being sucked by everyone.
I gotta add.
Wing knows he needs a fucking ice maker.
I gotta add the explicit tag again. Every time.
Did anybody else get first place? Who got first place this year?
You got some.
I gave somebody
for
first.
What?
I had.
Yeah, I can't remember who.
For GM of the year,
I mean, it was almost no contest. I mean, I think the second place was. Was Pauly P,
yeah.
And then there was Wig.
For what?
For GM of the year.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean,
total votes.
No,
like,
I was just trying to see if...
Points for the votes, right?
I wanted to see if, like, we could see whoever got the most total, you know...
Oh, no, I had it written down somewhere. I tallied everything, but... I mean,
it would have been nice for
me
to report
by
back.
By far... Nah.
Of course,
yeah.
Doug doesn't keep my big victory in here.
Conroy has a good one. What, talk about teams that are getting too much hype or teams that are not getting enough hype or not enough praise.
I mean, you think you don't get enough hype.
No, I don't give a shit anymore.
Now he doesn't.
I broke you down the other day or what?
No, I'm just like, whatever, it is what it is. But I think one team that's been doing a lot of shit talking lately in press threads, because I think this year's pressers have been awesome, and there's actually a couple of comments in here we're going to get to. I think this year has been very active in the press conferences and has actually been keeping this usually slow week in the offseason.
Oh, God,
it's
the worst week of the whole year.
But I think one team that's been doing a lot of trash talking and that's getting a lot of hype is the Pacers, because they haven't done anything really to improve their team. They don't have a point guard. I don't know if they signed one last night during the free-for-all, but going into the free-for-all, they had zero point guards.
Do they have a two who can play the point guard?
They have Ricky Pierce. They had Vern Fleming. And Vern Fleming is the one with the best handles.
So you're telling me that Pauly P, one of the quietest guys in the league, is...
Have you not
heard him? I even said it in this thing. Like, he's getting... But I like it.
I do too. No, I agree. I think it's fun.
So it's him talking.
Yeah.
He's talking trash.
Yeah.
Really?
It's just great. I love it. I don't think...
I'm sorry,
Pauly
P. I've read like 10 of them, and I think I just haven't read yours yet.
Yeah.
But I'll get there.
Yeah.
Now that I know you're one of the best reads, I'm going to...
It has been pretty good. Like, he's been silently taking shots at, like, the Magic.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I don't count my winnings on how many times I mentioned during podcasts.
It's kind of like you taking a shot at me because somebody else is talking
about
their team.
They weren't as venomous as our shots at each other.
Yeah, because the Magic, he's been pumping his team up big time.
Oh, he should be. I mean,
he's done a lot. I think he's brought in a lot of talent that can make him.
What I'm saying...
With all the moves he made, he needs to pump himself up to keep himself feeling good.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you have to. Like, you trade. You
so
more,
then.
You mortgage your future, you fucking better feel good
but
about
then,
the team.
But then Pauly P wants to bring Magic back down to earth a little bit.
No, I like it.
So.
I like it. I'm just saying that I think a lot of other teams in the conference are giving him a lot of hype.
What about
when his team isn't completely filled out? Like, he has Stacey Augmon, who is great. He's probably the next great three in this league. If not the best already, he's probably on his way up there. Maybe not the best.
Wait, what did he average last year?
Like
23, 24?
And he's a lockdown defender?
Yeah.
No, he averaged 20.
Well, no, but his tricky part is that he may not shoot very well, but he defends the perimeter really well, but he's a down-low guy. So you don't have many threes in the league that can defend the post and defend against Stacey Augmon where he attacks.
He doesn't... Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying.
But he can defend those three guys that a lot of guys
scored
are shooting
19.8 points.
That's not bad, but I mean, for a guy that's a lockdown defender.
539 on true shooting percentage.
No, he's pretty good.
He's good.
He's no Sabala.
But I'm saying he has.
Or
he has Augmon and Ewing.
I mean.
No, I love
him.
I'll tell you right now, I would trade everybody except for LJ and KJ for Augmon straight up.
Yeah.
I mean, he's really good. And Rick Fox, another guy that'll end up turning the guy.
Rick Fox, I think,
so,
is going to kind of be like a Sabalos light, maybe. Like,
so he's
the way he'll play.
He's the best three in that draft, is what you're saying. I just want to make sure I get this recorded.
Steve Smith is not a three. You just play him there because
you
have a better.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's the best pure
three. So don't try to Michael Jordan us and. say, hey, Mike, you're looking kind of down today, and him be like, go start working out for the next 6 months, and, you know, say, oh, they think I'm going down now. Like, come on, let's not do that.
All right. But that was my one shout. Right. I think this.
What about Nola? Nola's been getting kind of, and I like it. I'm not taking a shot at Nola, you know. He doesn't give a fuck. yeah, but he's been getting a little cocky too, and I like it. He's won 2 Pacific titles, and he needs to. You know, that's what I said to my friend. Until somebody knocks him off, he deserves to be that guy.
But I saw you guys exchange a few words. It is funny to see some of the rivalries really take shape in these pressers, because obviously there was one for the, you know.
You faggot.
Some homophobic remarks were made, and I didn't press charges
a request from Wing Nosey for us to read our presser in a dramatic fashion, which I actually wouldn't mind doing.
Wait, you know those commercials with, what's the guy's name? Where they're reading the text message from the
guy. Oh, yeah!
Totes adorbs. Totes adorbs.
I had to Google what totes meant. I had no idea what the hell totes meant.
I like this idea.
How we'll close.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's get to the question. Do you have them up?
I have them up. So that was one of the team with too much hype. I think Nola's team, he gets a lot of hype this year, but deservedly so, because he's been there. He's playing really well. I think this year he has he drops a little bit, because I just don't know if there's enough talent on that team, along with just Pooh Richardson and Carl Malone. But I think that was intentionally done that way, so that way he can still compete, because I think he kept a lot of his main guys there from last year. And just assuming that he doesn't take a huge hit in training camp, he'll be okay. But I think he's prepping himself for next year, when he can really make a big splash and solidify that team.
Sure.
So, I mean, he may have a down season this year, and not that he, you know, it's definite or anything set in stone, but there's potential for that. But I don't think it's a long-term down. It's like one of those, he's prepping for the future by possibly letting the season slide.
Anytime you have Carl Malone, there's not, I mean.
Yeah.
Unless he gets hurt. So, next question.
What teams do not get enough praise?
Clippers.
Clippers are, talked about them a bit.
Get a little bit. We're talking.
The only reason he should be, the only time he should be getting praise is right now. Right?
Yeah.
And he got it.
That's fine.
Yeah. No, I
just think when you're the fourth worst team in the league, maybe 2 years in a row.
I think
for you to do what, for
the Grizzlies.
What, he's been in the league. He's been in our league, or whatever our league is, for what, 4 seasons now?
Yeah. Hadn't made the playoffs once.
Right. He's not been good at a lot of things. Sorry. You know, this offseason, he did a good job in addressing needs that he needed.
And he's getting his
break. He's done a good job. That's all I'm saying. I don't think a lot. We spent time on him before this, is when that question was posted, and that's why I'm saying it was
him. I think he is one more offseason away from really being a contender in the Pacific. Maybe not contender, but
he's got to figure it out.
We'll see with this experiment.
All right.
Just to add on that, I think the Warriors don't get enough credit. No,
yeah,
I agree. The Grizzlies get enough credit. Who beat me in the fucking playoffs?
Question we got. We have, please grade the 2 Raptors trades of Isaiah and Vernon Maxwell. We kind of touched on this earlier.
Did we talk about, I think we talked about it in the car.
Yeah.
I love the Vernon Maxwell trade for him, because
he gets Otis Thorpe Light.
He just drafted 2 twos. He gets Otis Thorpe Light probably for cheap, and he just sends off
He dumps 3 additional years of salary in one fell swoop, freeing up more cap space next year if he needs to re-sign somebody. Okay. Or if he needs to, make a run on some other body, he just freed up almost $2 million.
You have a lot of guys who took themselves out of that big class. I'm one of them. If a team does their accounting properly, they could be one of 7 or 8 teams who can actually sign a max level guy. And then all of a sudden, you can steal some people.
Yeah.
It gets to the point, like, you know, Steven Jackson or the guy I took from you, like Darrell Wallace. Like, those are guys that they probably don't deserve the contracts they get, but
they can be
swept
away.
Right. They can be taken away because no one else has the money to spend on them.
Right.
Okay, next question was, will the commish punish himself for tanking?
Next question.
Next question. Colts guy asked for best off seasons. We already talked about that. Conroy, too much hype, too not enough praise. Will the Raptors make it out the first round before calling themselves great again?
He'll call himself great before the middle of the season.
He'll call himself great at the end of his thread after he listens.
The great, he's gonna change his avatar.
And yet, and I want to point something out. And yet, my head is my ass, right? And that was a quote.
That one for you.
That was a quote. That was a quote from.
They're not saying he doesn't think he's a hypocrite himself.
Well, I want to make sure I understand that I still haven't talked up my team that much, and yet somehow everyone else saying stuff has caused me to be the one with my head up my ass.
Well, you know, honestly, the real rivalry was you and him to start.
Oh, yeah.
And now, you know, Doug's kind of taking some of his thunder, so I think he's got some jealous ex-girlfriend going on in him.
Yeah, so we have a few people in that conference that kind of want to take shots at each other, so that's fine.
This is a great segue to Conroy's at request of, hey, it's been a while since we've heard fuck you, Soundwave.
Fuck you, Soundwave.
Fuck you, Soundwave.
I won't say it, but you understand whatever.
Why?
Just because I'm trying to keep myself clean on this thing.
Why?
Okay, we're going to go into this?
Not yet. We're almost there.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to read my part because I really think I got it ready.
Nick Malone says, rank the Central Division from best to worst.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
This is going to be fun.
Trey, you go first. I'll go first because mine doesn't matter because you guys are the ones that matter. Hawks, obviously, right? Hawks, Bulls, Pacers, Cavs, Pistons, Bucks, Raptors, Hornets.
Damn.
I'm sorry, but
it's okay.
They've got a lot of talent there. It's not like...
Oh, it's a tough position.
If I had a 90 versus a 91 versus a 90, you know, it's like, they're all like, besides the last two, again, no offensive wave on that one. He's rebuilding.
Yeah,
those top six teams are pretty good.
It's the same. I mean, I haven't looked at the other guys, so I don't really know.
I'm gonna go.
You know,
until the Hawks lose,
I think that the Hawks and the Pacers for sure, because they were.
That's why I picked Poole second.
To me, those are the two. To me, those were the two best teams last year. I think that they deserve
enough
respect.
The Bulls picked up Stockton.
Bulls are looking
overpowered Stockton.
Yeah,
for now.
We'll see. All right, I'm gonna give my breakdown real fast. Hawks, I'm gonna go Hawks, Bulls.
He's gonna say Cavs because he sold them Dominique.
No,
he's a great 3-point shooter.
No, honestly, it's Hawks and Bulls are the two, and then originally, if the Pacers would have gotten a point guard, I would say Pacers, but
okay.
I'm gonna go.
I don't think they lose that much by not having a good point guard, personally. But
we'll
go
see.
Ahead.
I'm gonna go Bucks.
Yeah. Okay. You
and then but then I'm gonna go Pistons.
Horseshit.
Worse in the box, right? Yeah. Okay.
All right. I'll play this.
Bucks, Pistons, Pacers, Cavs, Raptors, Hornets.
Wow.
Well, I think we all agree on the consensus that the Hornets are in last.
So the Hornets are last.
Trey, do you have a rebuttal?
I mean, my team's better than your team. I mean, we don't have to play this whole let's rank the Central because it really doesn't matter. My team is better than your team. It doesn't matter how it finishes. So, I mean, you can keep pumping up your team as much as you want. I'm just saying... You know, I may not be the third best team in the Central. It could happen no matter what. You know, you could see the Bulls finish second. You can see the Pacers finish second.
Guys.
You can see my team finish second. I don't see your team finish second.
Which is a great...
That's my pick. I don't see three teams finishing second. And I can see four or five other teams finishing second in that
conference. Which is a great segue to our next segment.
This
are
is
we,
fine.
Are we doing our...
Now, are we doing yours or his? It has to be yours. At all.
Yeah, mine didn't have anything on it.
Well, yours started with...
me asking...
Yeah.
He wanted a bold prediction.
Let's start there.
He wanted a bold prediction.
I didn't say bold.
This is
what does it say?
The prelude to the Bucks conference.
Oh, so this is what pissed you off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so Scott starts it off with...
I'm gonna get to it real quick.
Okay.
Here. Hold on one sec.
Just so you guys know,
okay.
There is no love lost here.
No. It was for a little bit, but
it was,
we got
it.
It
was a little heated for a while, but yeah. we said, hey, guys.
All right, here's how it started. And I'll even read your part. You guys can go to the Bucks press conference to that point of where the girl fights the
target. Read the thing. Right. Read the excerpt I posted.
What? So my first thing is, what do you think about your rival? And this is Doug's signature now. What do you think about your rival, the Milwaukee Bucks, offseason? I did say bold prediction. Who finishes with more
Thank
games?
You! Thank you! I could have said I would finish with a 15 more games. That's bold prediction. Like, it's a bold prediction. What am I going to say? One game better? Sorry. Go ahead.
We'll sweep them. Finish with 6 more wins. Book it. And which is probably the part that pissed Doug off the most. The book it. Now, ladies, go ahead.
Okay.
All right. So, so someone asked me a question. I forget who it was.
It should be the...
No. Just read...
Anyway, I responded to someone saying...
You need to read it.
I responded to someone saying, I'm not blindly confident like a couple other teams in the Central Division have started claiming to be. I think I will improve upon last season's success.
Which Central teams are you referring to?
Now, let me... Before I say...
No!
You faggot!
You read it!
You faggot!
No! I don't want to hear any of this other qualifying shit.
I'm confident that A, I won't be lottery bound, and B, I'll be beating the crap out of you in the standings on the floor. No pumping up a Martin here, Kevin Martin here. Better than you, and everyone knows it. I'll be filing a formal complaint to the commissioner's office about your homophobic nature. To think in 15 years you'll be blowing Channing Frye publicly. Maybe this is the complaint that made you change your ways.
A, you shouldn't be lottery bound. You got gifted a fucking... I added that in there just now. Got gifted a number 3 pick and trade rate that a retarded Nuggets GM to get picked this year and in 94 as well. Mighty add congrats on your level up in interest. Just like in PR, so you needed a couple lotto picks just for you to remember you had a team. Let's jump back in the random DC thread from season 1. Give me 1 second while I find something. Quoted Trey. You want to read your quote?
I'm pretty sure I got 3 wins in the last sim. So, Detroit, Rock City, the same. I didn't even see that quote.
Pretty sure a team less engaged in Detroit, Rock City was the Rockets. Hell, even the Supersonics GM was more active and engaged in his own disappointing season. Why would you need to pump Kevin Martin? You should rest after pumping Ken Norman for 1 season. Probably wouldn't have had been 2 if you'd been given 2 shits during the first. Regardless, fire your complaint, bro. I welcome your underwhelming squad to my city. We'll be sure to use Steve Smith's defensive ratings as a doormat so everyone will be able to walk all over.
There are points I will get.
Remember that.
I'll get back to that. There are points I'll get back to. This level up in interest bullshit is getting old. You know that's not true, so screw you. I wasn't gifted anything. It's called the lottery. You have a chance of landing a top 3 pick if you're there. Don't worry. You'll become more familiar in the next few years. Ken Norman has been adequate. I never sold him otherwise. Congrats on your new addition. And the kicker in this whole thing is that no one fillets their team harder than the Milwaukee Bucks. I've never oversold my team, which is what the coaching staff, free press, players, and ownership group in Milwaukee put a clinic on every year.
Congrats, you win. I guess I should just get used to you. You're the better GM and better person than I suck at shit talking too, so I'll just end it there, homie. Anyways, congrats on the season. I look forward to meeting you during the regular season.
Did I hurt your feelings in defending my honor? You took it there, but I'll back off. You didn't expect that shit from my podcast. Wait. I didn't expect that shit from my podcast co-host for over a dozen episodes now. I must not have been participating then either because my team was so bad. Future me didn't understand what was going on in the first few seasons. I'll take that then. But now, no. I've been participating the whole time.
Fair enough.
Have we tailed off now at this point?
No, it's like, fair enough. I took it too far there. Sorry. Shouldn't have done that. I went there while I was heating. I apologize for that. I congratulated you on your team, and you retaliated with the initial trash talk when answering a question proposed to you. It snowballed from there. I'm happy with things starting to fall into place for your team. I'm happy for you. Anyway, I'm tasking myself in circles and talk. I feel like an asshole. Sorry.
My favorite thing was the Rocket 78. This whole thing was real? Yes, it was real. We were both... ultimately pissed at the other person. It was absolutely real. And you're wrong. The three wins was my best sim. Of course I kept it as the same. And it was 3-2.
That's because I didn't.
It was a winning sim! You misquoted the shit out of me right there.
Well, no, the thing is, I pulled that. I didn't feel like digging too deep.
Oh, my God!
I looked at the last, or the second to last fucking...
Dude!
I probably could have gone with it.
I was... like a 1% chance to make... What's going on? What is...
Scott, you gotta...
It's been 7 hours.
What the fuck is this shit?
This is nothing compared to you, Sinead
O'Connor. Oh my goodness.
Anyway... We could give you a gayer glimpse into our lives and read the text messages that we sent back and forth.
We're done there.
No, we're done with that.
There's no better way to close this podcast.
All right, well, what we're going to be doing, we will be analyzing TCs tonight. We'll probably post an article on what our takes are and our predictions. We won't do that here on the podcast because not fair to predict a team to go higher. Well, other than the fact that the Pistons are going to be better than the Bucks. That's the only thing that we're going to claim here. You know, pretty much we all agree on
that,
too.
Who's plating their own team now? Jesus Christ. I've been pretty humble this podcast. This time we're on the other hand.
We'll be doing our predictions for, you know, I guess first take style, huh?
Careful when you stand up, man. You're going to bang your dick on the table from having a giant boner for your own team.
I don't understand.
You're going to be like,
pretty close.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. Slow.
Nothing compares to you.